Libraries and teaching materials. Conservative Theological University has about 6,000 titles and about 120,000 volumes available. Shop today at conservative.edu. Scroll down to bookstore, browse, and place your order today. That's conservative.edu and scroll to bookstore. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, again, thank you for joining us today as we celebrate the wonderful, wonderful privilege of saying thank you to the Lord for all that He's done in our lives. Being admonished by the text to be ye thankful. And just before the news break, we had Chelsea on the line. Chelsea, I'm thankful that you were willing to hang in there. Would you mind taking a moment and finishing your thought in the praise and thanksgiving for what you just said?
Yes, of course, I'd be happy to. Thank you, sir. I was saying I'm at a time in my life now where I have everything that I thought would make me happy. I am married. I have a wonderful family. I have a career that I'm passionate about. I have a house that we own. I'm successful. I've done everything right, but I'm not happy.
Amen.
And I something was missing, and I didn't know what it was. And I called my dad a few days ago, and I talked to him about this invitation to come help out with you on Sunday. And he just, what I didn't realize is I was labeling it as joy. I said, oh, I'm not happy. It wasn't joy, it was God. But God is love, and God is joy, and God is discernment. So that is the answer at the same time.
Amen.
And
Amen.
So I'm trying to now take daily steps to do something with this miraculous discovery. I don't want to be a rocky soil. I don't want to be the thorny soil. What can I do to ensure? And like I said, He's planted this seed. How do I know to say that? How do I know that parable? Because I was taught
Amen.
In the church. I was raised in the Word. So it's only right that I'm finding this piece that was missing. So
Amen.
Fast forward to this morning. I am going to my son's daycare for a Thanksgiving feast and play. And I am in the car, and I was listening to Christmas music, but I decided to listen to Whitney Houston instead. Never listened to Whitney Houston. I had a random thought to listen to her, so I put her on. The very first song that played was When You Believe. And I've never heard that song in my life. And I read the lyrics, and I had to pull over and sob the way that it was divine. It was like God was talking to me. And
Amen.
I said, and what's crazy is the next song after that was When Will I Know? And the number one thing that I've told my dad that was my number one doubt, the reason I haven't been in faith since I was a kid, was I just didn't know. And when I'm praying to someone, I don't hear it. Is anyone there? How do I know? And so the repetition of that lyric was designed for me to hear in that moment. It just is overwhelming. When God speaks to you, it is so clear that that's what's happening. And Dad, Pastor Ken, I just want to say I'm so thankful.
Amen, sweetie.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
So thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Chelsea, we're
thankful
for you.
Thank you to all three of you for sharing the word and being messengers and being vessels for him.
Well, we're thankful for you and what the Lord has done. That's a whole lot to be thankful for this Thanksgiving season.
Amen.
I praise the Lord for you, and I'm praying for you that God will continue to illuminate, open doors, and allow you to be the servant that he's called you to be. Chelsea, thank you so much. Have a blessed day.
Yes,
thank you. God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Brother Ken, what say you?
I've got to go back and just read this verse of what Jesus said. This I think, pivotal revelation that he made about the source and motivation of Thanksgiving, that predominant push from a divine perspective. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes.
Amen.
So Christ's gratitude was focused on the spiritual reality and the intuitiveness of his method of divine revelation of spiritual saving truths of the gospel, not to the intellectually proud, not to the intellectually capable, but to the humble, receptive individuals that have them revealed by the Spirit of God by an enlightened understanding and mind. And I just got to glorify God and thank God, because that process of illumination is what my daughter Chelsea was going through.
Amen.
It's what
Amen.
I went through.
Amen.
And it's a little, it's the same, but it's a little bit different for the unsaved person. It's the beginning of God drawing them to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
There's an enlightenment of the mind. Spiritual truth is introduced. The reality of sin and conviction and judgment sets in that drives them to want to hear and believe the gospel.
Amen.
And receive Christ to be delivered.
Amen.
For the
Amen.
Christian, the process of spiritual illumination is a continuation of the work of the Spirit after regeneration, after you're born again, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the it's one of the most beautiful verses in the Bible, a series of verses in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, where Paul said he heard of the faith of the Ephesians, and he ceased not to pray for them. Here's what he prayed for.
Mm-hmm.
That the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ would give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him.
Amen.
Why? The eyes of your understanding being enlightened.
Amen.
So that ye may know the hope of his glory, the riches of his inheritance in the saints, the exceeding greatness of his power that he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead.
Amen.
All
Amen.
Those critical doctrines related to spiritual life of the believer, where we need new and fresh and increased grace and the Spirit of God to open the eyes of our understanding in greater and new ways.
Amen.
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 I believe we have Tommy on the line. Tommy, go over the question or comment, please.
Just a word of praise, Dr. Youngblood. I just want to thank you so much for what y'all's ministry is doing. It touches heart. And I just can't explain to people that you had a service on about a week or so ago about salvation, and I was one of those guys that at 10 years old had walked down the aisle, got a picture when the man baptized me, had all the right things, but never had a relationship. My dad got churched hurt, pulled the whole family out of the church, and we went down a dirty road for a long time, and after about 10 years, the Lord led me back to church, and what was so strange about the whole thing, they were given a soul winning class. I said, you know what? God's given me many, many gifts, many talents. I don't know how to lead to my Lord. I'll go learn how. I went to the class, and the gentleman that gave the class happened to be the grandson of the man that baptized me. And he took, And during the process of time, he said the hardest thing there is about soul winning is the first time you do something. And the more you do it, the easier it gets. He says, what I'm going to do tonight, I'm going to let you and your partners turn your chair around. You're going to lead each other to the Lord tonight. In theory, I understood the point. And so we're shuffling our chairs around. And the gentleman giving the class tonight, David, come down. And I was a piece of church furniture. My mom worked in the kitchen. My dad was involved in the church. And now, and I'd been out in the world too long, been to jail, but done stupid things. But I said, you know what, David? I remember walking down the aisle. I remember when your grandfather or your dad, you baptized me. I remember those things. I remember filling that little 3x5 card out. But I don't remember the relationship. Nobody instructed me, and I did not know. And for 10 years, I walked around with a baptismal picture of my salvation, which was nothing but a wet boy. Mm-hmm. And on January the 19th of 1982, in that soul winning class, I started talking around with David. He said, Tommy, you ain't saved. So that night, I got saved in a soul winning class, and my life turned 183, right back around. I'm back serving the Lord now, using my gifts and talents for Him, and been truly blessed. And I just want to share with people, be careful, dads, moms, what you do to your kids. Stay strong for them while they're young so you can teach them right. They have to make the choice, but then again, you can be the leader. But it is right in the right path.
Amen.
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 Well, Tommy, perhaps you recall, and I'm sure you would have read that, Joshua 24:15. Joshua made a decision that was a prominent decision, a priority decision, a parental decision, and he said, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve Amen. The Lord. And so that's a good admonition for every parent listening today, is to make that determination that as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And I'm thankful for your testimony.
Thank you.
That's a ton to be thankful for today, isn't it?
Amen.
God bless you, and thank you so much for sharing
thank
your testimony today.
Amen.
Have a blessed day. God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. And Dr. Davis, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 touches on what we've just heard, the last two callers. In everything, give thanks.
Amen.
For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
Amen.
It didn't say in some things, but in everything. How do you explain that everything, Dr. Davis?
Well, I mean, getting back to what we were talking about throughout the whole program, everything means everything. It means just what it says.
Mm-hmm.
It means the good and the bad. Now, let's know and understand this. God doesn't need any help getting things correct.
Mm-hmm.
Because this Bible tells me all of his ways are righteous.
That's right. Amen.
That means even what we consider his bad, that's still good.
Amen.
When we go to Romans 8:28, it says, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Not Amen. Your purpose,
Amen.
But his purpose. Now, I'm still rejoicing over Sister Chelsea.
Amen.
I'm telling you, in my heart and soul, amen. Thank you so much. The other brother that just called too. And I want to say to both of you, I want to thank both of you for answering the call on your lives.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Thank you for not turning him away. So many are in that position today, Dr. Youngblood. They know better than to be doing what they are doing right now. They're out there sinning, and God hasn't stopped dealing with them.
Amen.
Yet they continue to turn a deaf ear. Now, let me help you to understand something. One day that call is going to go away. Now, he's not going to continue to try to make you accept him, because the Holy Spirit is a perfect gentleman.
That's right.
He doesn't overrule your will.
Mm-hmm.
You can will him out of your life.
That's right.
Simply by making the wrong choice. But thank both of you so much. And Sister Chelsea, I call you that today. And I can call you sister now. Amen. Because my mind goes back to when Ananias sent, God sent Ananias to lay hands on Saul in the book of Acts. After he laid hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul,
That's right.
receive your sight. Praise Amen. God. So I'm saying, Sister Chelsea. Receive Amen. Your sight. Amen.
Absolutely.
Praise God. And continue to walk on and live
thankful
on.
For
Amen.
That.
For
yes.
the Lord.
And one of the texts that comes to my mind with what we've heard from our callers today. Psalms 26:7 says, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wonderful works. That's what we've just heard.
Amen.
In two beautiful testimonies.
Amen.
It is praising God. It is publishing with the mouth, publishing with the voice, the thanksgiving of what has taken place. I think we need to be very, very thankful today, ladies and gentlemen. We need to be thankful that we live in a nation where we have what's called a Bill of Rights. And that Bill of Rights, by the way, government didn't come up with it. God did. And it is our natural rights given by God and codified in our Bill of Rights. And the Bill of Rights is the religious liberties and the freedom of speech. And we have that today. And I don't know about how many that's listening would think of that on Thanksgiving. I do. I think about that on Thanksgiving because we have the wonderful freedom that we ought to be thankful for, that we can speak to others, share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the lost, dead, dying, darkened society in which we live in. Listen, what the Lord has done for you, are you telling others? That's my question. Brother Ken, speak to that as to what needs to be done and some edification, encouragement to our listeners to do that very thing. It is a life story that we share with others, what God has meant to me, what God has done for me, and what he can do for you. And we thank him and thank him for it. And we praise him and thank him by listening, lifting up our voices and magnifying the Lord Jesus Christ.
Pastor, this goes back 42 years, nearly to the day of when I received Christ as my personal Savior. I was a 20-year-old young man, troubled, drugs, alcohol, every type of nefarious thing that someone could, I was involved in. Mm-hmm. I was miraculously saved. And instantaneously, my life was transformed. My life was cleaned up from the inside out. And I remember saying to myself, not knowing a lot about the gospel, not knowing a lot about the Bible, I said to myself, this, everyone needs to hear this. Everyone needs what I just got, and I can't fully explain it. And from that day on, I've had this powerful obsession mm-hmm. with sharing the gospel and watching this miraculous operation of God through Jesus Christ transform the lives. How do addicts, how do chronic criminals, how do drunkards turn away and become this completely different person and leave these things that have held them captive? The gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The
Amen.
Regenerating work of the Holy Spirit. That new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. It appears when you pray that prayer and receive Christ with an understanding of the gospel, it's a mustard seed.
Mm-hmm.
You have no idea all that that means, all that would happen. But that mustard seed is planted, and in its growth and full maturity, the birds of the air come and rest and have security. It becomes this massive growth and overtakes your life.
Amen.
And today, and I thank God, from early in my salvation, I was dedicated to witnessing. And I can't say I'm fearless, but pretty close. I got to get a track in your hand. And if I can get you aside and I got my New Testament and we can have a conversation, I want to give you the gospel and make an appeal.
Amen.
Why? There's some urgency to this matter, gentlemen.
Amen.
Every second, hundreds and thousands of people across the globe are dying, entering into eternity. And the answer is always no, not enough. What have we done, and are we doing enough as individuals, as local churches, and as fellowships of like faith? What and how sacrificial and zealous are we at making a difference in the eternity of the lost?
Amen.
Go ahead. Here's what the older saints used to tell me back in the day, Pastor Ken, is that there's only a remnant of us that's here.
That's right.
I'm talking about faithful pastors and leaders like you and I and Dr. Youngblood today. Amen. Dr. Phelps, amen. Thinking about you, praying for you, amen. Praying for your family, amen. Praise God, while it's on my mind. Amen. Just want you to know that.
Amen. Thank
amen.
You.
Amen. But here's the next thing we need to understand. Jesus answered that question when he said, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few.
That's right. Absolutely.
Dr. Youngblood stressed that so much to me when I came to Conservative Theological University, and he let me know, even in the book of Revelation, well, there's only going to be a tenth of the people. God's got a tithe from the whole earth that he's going to save, because of the simple fact that when the gospel is presented, many are not going to answer the call, and many are not going to believe. So guess what? It's not because you lied, murdered someone, stole, killed, robbed, steal, killed, whatever the situation. People like to put emphasis on how bad sin is.
That's right.
You're not going to hell for that. You're going to hell for unbelief.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Praise God.
One Amen. Of the things that I, with all that's been said in the last few moments, is giving testimony, sharing, and praising God, lifting him up, magnifying him, being thankful for what he's done on Calvary's cross.
Amen.
Psalms 107 reads this way, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Verse 2, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy."
Amen.
Verse 8 then in Psalms 107, and it's a redundant sound, because verse 8, verse 15, and verse 21, and verse 31 say the same thing. And it says this, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men."
Amen.
Verse
Amen.
8 then, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." And then, redundant as it may sound, again in verse 21 and verse 31, and that's exactly what we've been talking about, is people saying, "Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord," magnifying his name, praising him. I say our praise and thanksgiving should be verbal, visible, and valiant, victorious of what Christ has done for us.
And if I can put emphasis on that, on the voice of God saying that, "Oh, that men,"
amen, would praise,
would
the,
praise
Lord.
The Lord,
amen,
for his goodness. Amen. I've said that 1,000 times in church. I see, even in that particular psalm right there, I preached on that several times, and I let them know how many times that repeated itself. Each time it went to the next repetition. Mm-hmm. Oh, that men.
That's
God
right.
was crying out with his heart.
Absolutely.
Oh, that men.
Amen.
And he's trying to get your attention.
Amen. I believe I have Brother Kevin on the line. Kevin, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Oh, yes. I agree wholeheartedly with that, Pastor Tim. And I used to witness all the time. I still witness today. I just got done witnessing Daytona Beach, but you know, the witnessing is great because it increases your faith a thousandfold, and Pastor Tim could probably testify to that as well, and every believer should be doing that in the churches. I'd just like to know what that Pastor Tim's church name is, if he's local in Jacksonville. Thank you.
Well, I very humbly state, I'm not a pastor. I'm a Sunday school teacher. I work here at the church as in the admissions of our university, and help as an assistant to our pastor with different administrative things that he needs. But I'm passionate about soul winning, and my pastor is passionate about pursuing and winning lost souls globally. We're committed to missions and evangelism in our city and state. It's First Conservative Baptist Church. It's on Old St. Augustine Road.
Open invitation.
Yeah, love to have you. And I teach the men's Sunday school class, which I got to tell you, we have very powerful classes.
Amen.
And things are happening in there. We're seeing folks saved and growing in grace, and that's critical.
Well, amen.
Well, I already sent Dr. Youngblood some Bible codes on the COVID-19 vaccination, which is undeniable proof that the Bible is real. And I show this to people every day. I say, look, this is undeniable proof, precursor to the real mark of the beast that's coming. It shows you what time it is and how desperate the situation is. And if God don't move here, there's billions of souls going to hell. And
right.
God's going to have to move in this thing, to move upon ours to save souls, because, I mean, I'm ready to bust it loose, but, I mean, God has to make this thing happen. I mean, it's in God's hands, as
Amen.
Far as I see.
Kevin, you're exactly right. It takes the voice of each of us that said yes to Christ as Savior to tell others, that others will tell others, that our lives will impact the lives of others, that, yea, even others would come to faith in Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for your call. God bless you, and I am thankful, thankful, thankful today we have this privilege to serve him. Dr. Davis, I'm looking at Psalms 136. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Verse 2, oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Verse 3, oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. What is it talking about, his mercy endureth forever? What is mercy, and what does it mean forever?
Well, when we look at mercy, we know what grace is.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's favor.
Yes.
And it's undeserved favor.
Right, that's right.
But when we look at mercy, mercy trumps judgment. Mm-hmm. I've read that many times in the scripture.
That's right.
Now, some people don't like that. Maybe I better not put Mr. Trump's name in it. Amen. Because they hate him so bad. Okay. Let's leave that. Anyway, when we look at mercy, by his mercy or through his mercy, we don't get what we do deserve.
Mm-hmm.
That means we deserve judgment and damnation. Mm-hmm. We deserve to go to hell. But through his mercy, he doesn't give us that. So through his grace, amen, he extends to us favor. Amen. He gives us, amen, still yet, a free gift. Something that we don't deserve.
Amen.
So through that, I mean, if we understand how those two words and the meaning of those two words work together for our lives, then we'll change. We'll make a change in our lives.
So this Thanksgiving season, let's just lay aside everything else. If for nothing else, we can say, thank you, Lord, for your mercy that endures forever.
Amen.
I am thankful for that. Brother Ken, we've got about a minute and a half left. Would you take that time and share some final thoughts you have in relationship to Thanksgiving and how it should apply in every person's life that's listening today?
Well, first of all, it should apply to the natural and common things that God has supplied for us so bountifully. Food, shelter, raiment, deliverance, healings from illnesses, that God is so good to us as Americans. We have so much in the natural realm. But in addition to that, the crown of our thanksgiving, the crown of our heart needs to be spiritual gratitude, where we muse and meditate upon the great truths of the Bible, the eternal realities, the salvation and deliverance that God has given us in Jesus Christ, our Passover lamb, where the judgment for sin that we've committed, God passes over and saves us, and not only saves us and forgives us, but makes us heirs of Christ and sons adopted into the family of God. How grand is that?
Amen.
That's certainly something to thank God about.
Amen.
One writer puts it this way, and I'll read this for the summation. Be ye thankful serves as a reminder for all believers to express gratitude regularly, recognizing God's goodness and the blessings in our lives. This attitude of thankfulness is essential for spiritual growth and community harmony among Christians in our churches.
And if ladies and gentlemen, will see us thanking him, they will follow suit.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Amen.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about First